Logo, a giant eagle perches on a mountain over a bed of clouds. Republic Pictures, Paramount. From above, the veins of Seattle streets shimmer gold at night.
Protesters engaged again with police during a series of violent clashes throughout the city tonight. Denying all charges of bribery and extortion, the mayor's office is now urging residents to stay off the streets as curfews are implemented in the downtown area. In the wake of countless reports of arson and vandalism, the governor is threatening to declare a state of emergency, giving her the ability to bring in the National Guard.
A Seattle Fire Department car pulls up in a rundown section of town.
This is Hal. I've arrived at the scene.
Fires burn in the street. A police car sits nearby with its lights flashing. Hale, a stern-looking fire inspector, gets out of the fire department car and surveys the area. He walks down the middle of the empty, debris-strewn street, past a closed store and a fire in an oil drum. His flashlight lands on a sign above a doorway which reads, Regal Cove Estates. Flashback. He looks up to the second floor window. In the present, he stands staring up at the window a moment before he goes inside the building. The inside is charred and blackened from fire.
I don't see the police officer. I'm going in.
Well, maybe he went in a little bit early. Get a head start on things. It's going to be a busy night for everyone.
All I'm saying is, it
would be nice to have someone to keep the homeless at bay.
How's things looking out there?
Oh, no. Crazies are out tonight.
At the command center, a chief looks at a computer monitor.
Be careful out there, Officer Hale.
Looks like our guys barely had time to put this out before running off to the next.
Well, the city is a mess.
I'll be able to tell you how it happened right after this.
He punches an air quality monitor.
How many people died?
There were at least 3 fatalities the other night.
Probably due to some kind of cook stove or something like that.
Yeah, well, that building should have been demolished years ago.
Outside, from under the fire department car, black boots walk around it, pouring out a liquid.
Picking up traces of some type of accelerant. This was intentional.
A hand reaches from behind him and clamps his shoulder. It is a cop.
What the hell, man?
Did you just get here?
What?
He and the cop turn in the direction of the noise upstairs.
Thought I cleared everybody out. Probably just a squatter. I'll run him off.
Yeah, you go do that. I'll be right here.
The cop moves a burnt beam out of the way and goes upstairs. He shines his flashlight around the second floor room.
Hello? Anybody in here?
Worn mattresses and trash are scattered about the room. A cat dashes through.
Shit.
Everything all right up there?
It's just a cat.
He turns to find a figure dressed in a long black leather coat with a hood and a mask resembling the face from Michelangelo's David.
Hey, wise ass. This building is condemned. Time to go.
He touches it with his nightstick. The mannequin falls over backward onto the floor.
Fuck.
He walks over and shines his light on the mask. He looks up and his flashlight finds words on the ceiling written in blood.
Accuranta.
He continues to scan the room with his flashlight. Behind him, a figure in a white David mask and leather coat slices off the cop's head with a medieval bearded axe.
You okay out there?
The fire inspector inches over to the stairs and shines his light up. The cop's head peeks out over the railing.
Hey, everything okay up there?
The head nods. Then the hand holding the head moves it out over the stairs and drops it. The cop's head tumbles down the stairs. Hale backs up.
What the?
The David-masked figure leans over the railing. Hale dashes out of the building, runs to his vehicle, gets in, locking the doors. He sniffs something on his hands, then finds them covered with a liquid. The masked David appears in the street, in front of his car. The David masked man pulls the ignition cap off a road flare.
No!
Sparks shoot out of it. David then drops the flare. A circle of fire surrounds the fire department car.
No! No, no! We gotta get out of here!
As flames grow around the car, Hale pounds on the sunroof. He grabs a metal door handle, but jerks his hand back and shakes it. Hale stands up through the sunroof, and the flames ignite his shirt. As he struggles to get out, David stands motionless, watching.
Superheroes.
Flashback. Flames engulf the Regal Cove apartment building.
Help! Somebody! Help us!
A woman on the second floor holds a small boy while she beats on the window. In the present, the David watches as flames consume Hale. David turns and walks away from the inferno. SP Media Group presents. Title: Vindicta. Under cool blue morning light, water of a bay ripples toward a rocky shore bounded by a stone wall. A paved path rims the top of the wall. A blonde woman in a purple running suit jogs along the path. As she pumps her arms, the phone app on her watch chimes. She stops running, and bending over, she gasps for breath. A man on a cell phone goes to the mailbox in front of a large house.
Hey, Dad.
What was your time?
17:20.
That's 20 seconds off your best time.
You better pick it up.
Just been a tough week, that's all, Dad.
No, I understand that. Listen.
I'm going to make you some of the pancakes that your mom used to make from scratch.
And you're going to love it. You know how important it is to get a good
power breakfast in. You know what I'm saying?
I'd love to, but I don't think I'm gonna have much time. I can't be late today.
You're gonna crush it.
Hey, Daddy,
you've done so much for me since Mom passed, let me stay and all. I'm getting my first check in a couple weeks, and I wanna chip in a little.
Your first check? What are you talking about? I want all your checks.
Inside, he goes to the TV.
What are you
talking about? You're my daughter, and I love you. And by the way...
He turns on the sound.
Protesters were out in force
one
on
second,
City
honey,
Street
I'm listening
for the
to the
third
news.
Consecutive year. Injuries and hospitalizations have been reported during what initially started as nonviolent protests regarding city corruption following several high-profile cases.
Should be careful out there. It looks like it's going to be pretty rough tonight.
Focus marks of a camera follow her as she walks. She pauses and scans the area.
Not going to be anywhere near what's happening. I'm still in training, so they're not sending me out. So, you don't have to worry.
Seeing nothing, she moves on. The focus marks follow her.
Besides, I'm your daughter. The daily run, all the hours shadow boxing. All that training growing up, it didn't go to waste.
Don't forget
about the jiu-jitsu, okay? You were kicking little boys' asses when you were 8 years old. You're amazing. You're unstoppable.
You're going to be working with the fire department, okay? It can get rough out there.
Just be careful is all I'm saying.
She jogs down a suburban street.
Hey, by the way, it's Wednesday, isn't it? Don't you have poker with your buddies at the club?
Yeah,
I actually got all the guys from the precinct, all the retired guys coming over. I miss their smell so much.
Look, I gotta go. I can't be late. I'll see you soon, okay?
All right, I'll see you soon, honey.
He picks up a bunch of herbs. Lou turns up the walk and goes into her dad's house.
Authorities are still searching for the perpetrators who stole countless weapons from the Museum of Antiquity. City officials are claiming outside instigators are coming in and hijacking this peaceful movement. I am Lana Larkin from KIL 57.
She turns off the TV.
Hey, I was watching that grasshopper.
She runs over and hugs him.
The smell is very good.
Yes. We're gonna have a feast. Let me get this. Patrick.
Lou takes a swig from a bottle of water, then watches him.
No. Thank you, man. I'm retired. Appreciate it. Yeah, I'm taking it easy now. No. Thank you, though.
She reaches and grabs a piece of bacon.
Proud of me?
I don't believe for a second. I really don't. Okay, so I have to take a shower.
All right.
And in honor of your retirement, I will eat this bacon in the shower. It is so good.
So you're not going to actually eat? The world does not need a hangry paramedic.
Larkin and a cameraman appear on the street in front of the Regal Cove Apartments.
This place is disgusting. Stop! Did you even get the shot of the exterior?
I want something that shouts inner city community crying for help.
Yeah, it's got Pulitzer written all over it.
Oh, fuck off.
He hands her a mic.
I got it. How do I look?
He takes the donut out of his mouth.
Beautiful.
Christ, try not to choke to death on a fucking donut.
What? And rolling. 4, 3, 2, 1.
5 years ago, I reported just outside this very apartment building as a fire ravaged this inner city community and caused the horrific death of an entire family trapped inside. And earlier this week, this same building was set on fire yet again, claiming the lives of several in the homeless community. Another tragic reminder of the lawlessness now gripping this city. Stay with us as we offer updates from behind police barricades. This is reporter Lana Larkin signing
off. He spots David across the street.
The proper term is unhoused or people without housing. You're not supposed to say homeless anymore.
It's the same thing, you fat fuck.
Oh, that's just what I've heard.
Okay, you know what? Fine. Unhoused.
He shoulders the video camera again. Her eyes widen. He turns.
Watch out!
A police officer takes a photo of the decapitated cop's body as it sits in a police car. A word written in blood on the windshield. A detective gets out of an unmarked sedan and approaches.
You think he drove himself here? All right, he kills a cop, drops the car here, puts a body in the front seat. Who does that?
He looks at the bloody word on the windshield.
Superose. Does anyone know what the fuck this means?
A cop shakes his head. At home, Lou puts her name tag on her EMT shirt. It reads, L. O'Connor. She cracks her neck as she studies herself in the bathroom mirror. A photo of a woman with a small girl is tucked into the corner. She stares at it.
Wow, look at you. You look great. You look beautiful. How's training going?
Yeah, it's good. You know, I passed all my certifications, so I'm just waiting for the green light.
Your mom would be proud of you. I want you to go. You gotta eat. Don't forget to eat. Please.
Thank you, Dad.
Go knock him dead.
Love
and then
you,
revive
Dad.
Him again and just keep like an endless loop. I love you.
Love you too.
Haze hangs over the seemingly calm skyline of Seattle. Lou pulls up to a fire station. A bobblehead doll rests on her dashboard. The base of the bobblehead reads, Officer Dad. She flicks the nose of the doll, making the head wiggle. She gets out, locking the door with the fob, and goes inside. Later, firefighters don their firefighting gear near an ambulance with the words Training Division on the sign. Outside, the trainees carry a ladder toward a thick-walled shipping container-like structure with large, heavy doors. A makeshift car on fire sits inside it. They put on masks and turn hoses on the fire. The fire chief walks through the fire station. He picks up a clipboard and spots Lou at her space in the gear room.
O'Connor, a moment. Walk with me.
Chief.
It's no use crying over spilled milk, am I right?
Sir.
No hard feelings?
You're talking about how you tried to fail me?
Hey.
Thanks, Chief.
Did I? Look, in case it wasn't clear, I'm not entirely sure you belong here.
Respectfully, sir, I would disagree.
Well, you know what? The fact of the matter is, there's only two kinds of people in this world. Those who know how to think and act when the shit hits the fan, and those who don't. I think you're the latter. It's nothing to be ashamed of. Some people are just built that way.
It's not that I froze, Chief. I believe that the patient could be saved.
You're overthinking. That costs lives, regardless of the reason. Okay? It's called triage. You treat and you move on. That's the job, O'Connor, whether you like it or not. You spent too much time with the mother. You left those kids alone, unchecked in the back.
I thought there was a chance.
She had injuries incompatible with life, period. And you sure as shit don't know what those kids had because you didn't check. You left that for me to do. And that is a hell of a way for you to tackle your practicum.
Yeah, that wasn't my intent, Chief.
Look. You see a fire. You either go towards it or you run away. How you make that decision, that choice, that determines if you belong here. You're gonna have to make that choice today.
I'm going out.
He was determined to let you out of your training. For my part, I'm watching you.
That's great, Chief. You won't regret
All right.
it, I promise you.
Don't make me come out there and check up on you. This is it. Your bus is already late for the dance. You're gonna be riding with Jason. 15 years on the job, you can do a lot worse. Just keep your eyes open, take notes, and see how it's done by one of the best.
Great.
Hey, Chief, you still looking for Hale?
We're working on it. Haven't seen him since last night's fire.
So I get you for your first shift to put on new training moves. Ready for this?
Yep, ready.
We can't have any fuck-ups, not today. Shit is hitting the fan.
Got it.
Is it true that Chief failed you at the academy?
It's complicated.
Wonderful.
He tosses a duffel bag into her chest.
Okay. Now I'm guessing no one's told you about rule number one.
What rule?
You need to put on your game face before going on. It's like your war face, but with your mouth closed and breathing through your nose so that nothing from a patient ends up in your mouth. Now, the last crew is a little behind and we still need to refuel, so we're gonna have to hustle out of here.
Jason closes the back of the ambulance and they get in the front. He clicks the button on his radio mic.
The emergency channel's all filled up. I can't hear anything. Switching over to 2B.
We are ready to go.
Medic 3.
Go ahead.
There's a possible
stabbing of one male party. Proceed to 412 Broadway. We find police already at the scene.
Copy. We're en route. Should take us pretty close to Old Town.
How close exactly?
Just across the river.
I grew up not far from there. First day in the Devil's Punch Bowl, I guess.
The ambulance speeds across a bridge.
Bridges in and out of the city are now officially closed to the public as violence reaches historic levels. In yet another surprising turn of events, the chief of police announced his department is undertaking a series of internal investigations aimed at rooting out what many see as blatant acts of corruption among rank-and-file members of the city's law enforcement.
Rioters run with looted and stolen items. They burn buildings and cars. The ambulance arrives near the Regal Cove Apartments. At the corner, a woman heats up crack in a spoon. An unhoused woman looks up as the ambulance drives up. Lou checks the onboard computer.
St. Joseph's code yellow, only taking life threatenings.
Double Julie.
Nope, their capacity.
They stop near the burned-out hull of Hale's car.
This is where everything went down last night.
They look around at the fires and oil drums and the vagrants milling about.
Okay. Here we go. Let's move.
Okay.
They get out and move to the rear of the ambulance. Lou takes out a yellow case while Jason grabs a duffel bag. She moves to a woman on the sidewalk.
Ma'am, my name is Lou with Seattle Fire. Do you want to tell me what's happening here? Do you have any pain? Anything bothering you? I'll get that fixed up for you.
Needs this on you nice and gently. Needs you all fixed up here, okay?
Here, okay. Good, good. Yeah. All right. It's real gentle, okay?
Doing great.
A man staggers up with a massive head wound.
Sir, please, have a seat right here on the sidewalk. Yeah, I hope you're not. You Jason with Seattle Fire? How you doing?
You hear that?
Take a look. See if there's anyone else who needs some help. Go.
Okay, I have to check on other people.
Lou picks up her case. Her eyes scan the area as she slowly makes her way down the sidewalk. She reaches an alley. A noise startles the crack-smoking woman, who runs away. All right. Lou heads into the alley. She stops and whips around before continuing on. Clothes hang from a line on the side of a building. Trash and debris are everywhere. A fire burns in the encampment. She takes cautious steps forward.
Seattle Fire paramedic. Is anyone in need of assistance?
She walks past a dumpster overflowing with garbage.
Seattle Fire paramedic. Is anyone in need of assistance?
As she scans the alley, a drop of blood hits her cheek from above. She looks up to see the body of Lana Larkin suspended, spread eagle, on wires above. A metal device in her mouth has split open her face.
Jason, do you copy? You're gonna want to see this. Get over here! Jason! I don't know what the hell this is! Jason, I need you here, man!
Someone grabs her from behind. She turns to find the cameraman clinging to her, his eyes gouged out.
Jason, I got a man down! Where are you? Sir! Come on! Jason, I gotta start CPR, okay? Jason, I need you here! You copy? Get over here! Jason, do you have it?
She looks up at Lana's body, suspended above her. Later, a cop takes photos of evidence. Lana's microphone lies near a numbered evidence marker. As Lou talks to an officer, the detective strides up.
I got it. Thanks. Hi. I'm Detective Stan Russo.
Lucy O'Connor. You can call me Lou.
Okay, Lou.
So she was some kind of, like, reporter, right?
She was. That guy you saved was her cameraman. It's nice work.
Yeah, well, whoever did that twisted shit is not right in the head.
Yeah, well, I've been told he's been put into an induced coma. Otherwise, he might be able to tell us what happened here. Do you think he'll recover?
I mean, he was in pretty bad shape when they took him away. I think it'd be a miracle if he made it the night.
An officer takes a photo of the device in Lana's mouth as her corpse lies in a body bag.
Hey, listen, I know you guys are going to be running calls all day.
Yeah, Detective, I got to get back to my partner.
I'll be quick. All right, when you arrived at the scene, was there anyone else there?
No, I told the officer just a bunch of injured people in the area. Hey, by the way, can I ask you something?
Go ahead.
What in the hell is that thing sticking out of her mouth?
Well, it's supposed to be a medieval torture device. It's from several items that were stolen from a museum. It's called the Hair of Anguish.
An officer wheels around the dumpster. On the back are the words, Sina Quayo, written in blood.
Again? Can anyone tell me what this means?
That's Latin. Yeah. It means, like, if I cannot.
Thanks.
Sure, whatever.
He writes on his pad as Lou walks away.
All right, guys, listen up, all right? No one moves this fast without messing up, all right? We gotta hustle before this turns into a shit show. Let's go. You're with me.
Lou tends to the man's forehead wound.
To the side for me there? Great. Thank you.
Russo walks through the area as a car races through. He goes up to Jason.
Hey, Miss Carter.
Russo goes to Lou.
I'm just gonna apply slight pressure, right?
You look a little hurt, huh? Listen, while this nice lady patches you up, can you tell me what happened?
They just started hitting me.
Okay, it looks like we've got a large laceration in the right abdominal side. I'm going to need to take a look at this, sir, okay? All right? I'm just going to take a quick look, all right?
She lifts up the man's T-shirt to find the word Flectere carved in his belly.
Flector. Do you know what that means?
Sir, do you know who did this to you?
Have you seen this woman?
Russo shows the man a photo of Larkin.
You seen her?
That didn't seem nothing. No, get away.
Hey, get away. Okay, sir.
Yeah, I'm good. Don't touch me.
The man gets up and staggers off.
Well, let me touch him. I don't know.
Now, listen, these guys get harassed all the time.
Yeah. We took that guy to the hospital. They just give him an aspirin and let him go.
Yeah, you're not wrong about that.
Chief, we're clear here?
Roger that.
She opens the back of the ambulance and puts the case inside.
We're low on supplies.
Copy. Head on back and restock the ambulance.
You think that was Latin on the wall?
No, it was.
Yeah.
Any chance you know what Suporos means?
That's Latin too, right?
It means the gods.
She takes off her EM t-shirt, revealing a tank top underneath.
It's interesting. So all this reading, is it like a, is it a hobby?
Majored in a dead language. Ended up doing my thesis on it. Everybody thought it'd be useless, but hey.
Well, Latin? I can barely speak English.
Yeah, and Mandarin. Grew up in Chinatown as a kid. Worked at Mr. Wong's palace.
Oh, I know that place.
Yeah, that's how I picked up the language. Then, out of nowhere, Dad moved us to Jordan Falls.
David peers through a car.
So that's quite the upgrade.
I was liked in Chinatown. No sense of community.
Flashback. Larkin outside Weagle Cove.
Still people inside.
The woman clings to her child. In the present.
Sini Quail.
David watches.
You good?
Russo's eyes spot something. Lou and Jason turn to find David standing at the end of the street.
Flectary.
A car passes. David disappears.
God, and these guys keep coming out of the woodwork.
The ambulance heads back over the bridge. Later, it pulls into the fire station.
Never seen it so empty.
You should shower, grab a bite to eat, and get some rest. It's gonna be a late night. I'll restock and refill, and I'll be back in an hour.
Thanks, Jason.
She heads into the gear room, where a fresh shirt hangs in her locker cubby. Later, silhouetted against a large window in a workout room, she pumps the pedals of an exercise bike.
Jason, do you copy? You're gonna want to see this. Get over here. Jason, do you copy? I need you here. I don't know what the fuck this is. What the hell is happening here? I need you.
She turns on the shower and leans her head against the wall. In the gear room, David slinks to Lou's cubby. He looks at her shirt. She continues to wash herself in the shower. At Patrick's house, his cell phone rings.
Lou, how'd it go? Lou.
In the gear room, David places the cell phone back on the shelf. In the shower, as Lou runs her hands over her hair, the lights blink off and on. Through a cracked open door, David watches her. He closes the door. She turns around. The lights continue to flicker. She turns off the shower. Wrapped in a towel, she steps carefully back into the gear room. At her locker, she finds her fresh shirt missing. She picks up the empty hanger and looks at it.
Come on. Kidding me?
In the fire station kitchen, she opens the fridge. The lights start to flicker and blink again. She spots a firefighter's overcoat hanging near the door. The lights go out. She sees the David mask nestled in the coat. She jumps, startled at the alarm. She looks back. The mask is gone. The lights come back on and red alarm lights flash. She goes into a small bedroom, sets her watch alarm, and plops onto the bed. With her hand tucked under her cheek, she closes her eyes. She flashes to the suspended body of Larkin.
Sine quo, flectere, superol, sine quo, flectere. Wake up!
As several David-masked figures seem to hover over her, she sits upright in bed. At Patrick's, two friends watch a football game. He brings them beers.
Here we go.
residents are reminded state emergency responders will be spread thin as acts of civil disobedience.
He dials his cell phone. As Lou walks to her car, she answers his call.
Hey, Daddy.
Hey.
Thought I'd call you back and see how you're doing.
Yeah, they sent me out today.
They did? Well, listen, honey, congratulations is in order.
Yeah, it's been a kind of rough start, but I'm hanging in there.
Anything you want to talk about?
No, I don't know.
She gets in the car.
It's just a heavy day, you know, I'm drained.
You know, I've seen a lot of shit in my career, and it's, you know, that's just, it just comes with experience
that you don't have at the moment, but you're a little warrior, all right?
You remember when you were fighting and you punched that kid in the face on a defense, and then you said you liked it and you had that look in your eyes? You're a warrior. You got this.
Thanks, Dad.
It's just, today hit home. I keep thinking
about Mom.
No, we've been through this.
Not now.
I didn't do enough to save her.
Honey, you were 9 years old. You couldn't have done anything.
She looks over to the bobblehead doll. Its head has been cut off.
What? Hey,
Dad,
I gotta get back to work.
All right.
I love you, honey. You got this.
She gets out of her car as Jason pulls up in the ambulance.
Hey.
First they didn't take you out, huh? It's good to see.
No, I don't quit, and I can't leave my partner hanging.
Where's your clean uniform?
I think I got pranked. It wasn't in my locker.
It's because you're a newbie. Mind you, I'm surprised anyone has time for that kind of bullshit today.
Okay, so you ready to go?
Wow, okay, so you really want to jump back in the ring, huh? Okay. Go grab your jump bag. I'm gonna head around to Dock B, load up, and I'll be back for you in a few.
Okay.
Near the Regal Cove apartment building, a scruffy bearded man talks on a cell phone. A woman with short dark hair follows him.
Pick up. There you are. Listen, you son of a... Don't you fucking hang up on me again.
Patrick listens.
Follow me. Take your pictures. This is what...
The man steps in front of a car.
Hey! Think about it! You and I are gonna have a real fucking problem.
They stop in front of the Lucky Mart convenience store.
Shit! Motherfucker hung up on me again.
He's coming to collect.
The man, Vinny, turns to his agitated friend.
For all the real bad things we done.
It's just drugs talking. You don't mean none of that. Shit, darling. I would murder half of this city if they even looked at you the wrong way. You know that, right?
Yeah. I want to go home.
I got some business. Gotta collect real fast. Right. Some money.
Grabbing her face in his hands, he kisses her. Lou comes out of the dock and goes to the waiting ambulance.
Hey.
The chief approaches.
There's been a request for assistance from Old Town. They're asking for help. Can you cover it?
Old Town at night? Oh, okay. We'll head up.
Chief looks to Lou.
You good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Put on your uniform.
So I'm talking about, rookie. Shit is hitting the fan. Are you up to it?
100%. I got my game face on.
All right, Betty, one more trip.
Vinny enters the Lucky Mart. Subtitle, shop owner.
Hey, how, Jolly?
I don't want any more trouble.
Then you better pay me what I'm owed. Because I am 100% not waiting around for you.
I had looters here. How can you expect me to pay you?
Are you crazy? You fool!
Whoa, slow down so I can understand you.
The woman swipes snacks.
Do you say I'm crazy?
Yes.
Bitch, you ain't seen me crazy yet.
Fucking asshole.
Fucking asshole. All right.
He slides a box of items onto the floor.
Hey!
He tosses another box.
You need some more inspiration, Kylie?
She holds up a metal tin with cash in it. The woman goes to the cooler.
Wasn't all that difficult, was it?
He snatches the cash, The woman takes a beer. David rises inside the cooler.
Yo, this makes me want to play the lotto. Your lotto machine's still working back there?
The woman turns, confronted by David.
That is not a very pleasant look you
Vinny turns to see the woman holding her neck as she collapses to the floor.
Mona?
No. No, 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 no. No.
Baby! Baby, no! No, baby. I'll take this to you.
He stands to find David, standing at the end of the aisle.
Motherfucker! I'm gonna fucking kill you!
David charges.
Fuck! Shit!
Vinny turns over a display before racing out the back door. David pursues him. As Vinny struggles to shut the back door, the shop owner, Jai Lee, races out the front. Vinny rushes away from the back door. The ambulance weaves its way through traffic. Two guys walk out into the street in front of the ambulance. They throw food at the windshield. A man throws a bottle at the windshield.
Okay, keep going, keep going, keep going.
Make sure your doors are locked.
Yeah, they are.
Jason, I have another one for you.
This is Jason.
I have a report of an unresponsive female at a convenience store.
Some hysterical lady talking about a stab victim.
Copy. We're on route.
Just a couple streets to go. Come on.
The ambulance pulls up near the Lucky Mart.
On scene.
Copy. Keep me updated.
Hey, we got a point of contact?
The caller hung up. Keep your head on a swivel.
Okay. So where's the boys in blue?
Not required to show up for an unresponsive party. I suspect they're busy. Okay, grab a jump bag. We're proceeding. We'll keep you updated.
10-4.
Jai Lee runs down the street towards them.
Help! 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 Woman!
Subtitle, Jai Lee. You must hurry inside. A woman has been hurt. Subtitle, Lou. Can you tell me what happened? There was a man wearing like a white mask. He attacked her.
Okay, she says there's a woman inside who's been attacked and seriously hurt.
I don't know where they went. Okay. Be careful.
She doesn't know where the man is who did it.
Great. We're going to need immediate police backup.
It's crazy out there right now. Hang tight.
Ramona's bloody hand slams against the cooler door and slides down as Lou and Jason enter the store.
Over here. Ma'am, my name is Lou with Seattle Fire. We're here to help you, okay? All right. She's lost a lot of blood. Ma'am, can you hear me?
We have a lacerated trachea and at least one nicked carotid.
Okay, we're gonna need some gauze. We're gonna apply pressure, all right?
We're about to lose power.
Man, can you hear me? Can you hear me? All right, we got a lot of blood loss, Jason.
We have a 10-54, and the people party who is in critical condition, over.
Can you?
I say again.
Lou finds the head of the bobblehead doll in her jump bag.
I heard you, and I'm working on it.
Fire Chief Sutton, would you please tell me where in the goddamn hell their LE backup is?
Everything's overloaded.
Yes, I know about the overloaded channels and the outages, but if there's a unit nearby... Shit.
Sutton runs out to his car and gets in. He speeds off.
Okay, I need you to mobilize her head.
Yep, I'm gonna mobilize. I have to check the wrap, okay? All right, mobilizing. Right there. Stay with us, okay?
I don't have signal either. Yo, we can't wait. Let's go.
Stay with us, okay?
One, two, three.
They hoist the woman onto the gurney.
Go. Easy. All right. Hey, come around here. Here, you get to the head?
Yeah. Okay. Say when. One, two, three.
They raise the gurney.
Here we go. We need to get to her at St. Joseph's as fast as we can.
How far is it?
About 50 minutes on a normal day.
It is not a normal day. Oh, Jason.
It's looking real bad.
People gather outside the expandable window gates.
Steady. All right, stay with me, ma'am, all right?
Guys, get back.
Okay.
Okay.
You folks need to back up now.
No. We are fucking first responders. She's dying, okay? We need to get her to the hospital.
Come on.
I know.
As they maneuver the gurney toward the ambulance, David stands nearby, watching. They slide the gurney inside the ambulance. Lou climbs in the back of the ambulance while Jason closes the doors. A protester climbs on top of the ambulance. Jason gets in the driver's seat.
Back up! Give us your space! Back up! Come on!
Protesters beat on the ambulance with bats.
There's people everywhere. They're in front of us. They're on top of us.
Jason, in about 10 seconds, there's a Category 8 tornado of human shit that is about to hit us, and I do not feel like swimming in shit.
I can't just start moving.
The ambulance inches forward. Jason and Lou turn to see the hand firing the gun in the air belongs to Chief Sutton.
All right, move away from the vehicle now. Go on, get out of here. The fuck out of here now!
David watches.
Move! Go on, get out of here.
It's Rick.
Okay.
You're all right. Come on.
Okay.
Come on.
Hold on.
David appears behind Sutton and rams a knife into his back. A rag sits stuffed into the gas tank.
Come on!
Flashback. Jason at the Regal Cove fire.
Hey, what are you doing?
You can't?
Go in there. We won't make you 10 feet.
Can't let you in. We got our orders.
Sutton approaches.
Still people inside.
Help us! A man knocks a police officer down and rushes into the building. In the present.
Okay.
Come on. Hold on. We gotta get the hell out of here. Come on.
Russo!
Lou, where are you?
Regal Cove Estates. There's a corner store. I think they killed him.
Hey, listen, okay, I can get to you in a couple minutes.
Oh, hello?
Shit.
Hello? Come on!
Come on.
Damn it. God, she bled out. I gotta call it. Come a death. 2052!
We gotta get the fuck out of here. Now!
David taps on the windshield with a large spear.
Marie Davis.
David rams the spear through the windshield and into Jason's forehead.
Vindicta.
Russo's car pulls up. He gets out and spots the ambulance. David unsheathes his knife. Russo turns and grabs David's arm. David stabs Russo in the leg. David flips Russo over. Russo drops his gun. David kicks the gun away.
Motherfucker!
Luke opens the back of the ambulance.
Russo!
David cocks his head at him. Russo crawls toward the ambulance.
Come on!
Lou pulls Russo inside. As she slams the door, her cell phone drops to the pavement. David picks up the phone. In his kitchen, Patrick answers his phone.
Lou!
Hello, Patrick. Remember me?
David punches the rear window of the ambulance. Patrick dashes out and gets into his car. He pulls a gun out of the glove compartment.
Here, Ridgeview City Hospital. The officer O'Connor. I'm checking on a patient.
David turns and walks away.
Oh, I saw that son of a bitch earlier.
Lou goes to Jason and closes his eyes.
There's no signal!
Can we drive out of here?
It doesn't work.
David spreads gasoline in a circle around the ambulance.
I think he's trying to set us on fire.
He's gonna burn us alive. Okay.
Fuck, I'm bleeding all over the place.
We gotta get the hell out of here. Come on.
They go out the back door.
Go, come on. Okay. Go. Be alive.
She helps him over to where Sutton sits.
Oh my god, I thought you were dead.
I'm all fucked up.
Okay, we need to go. Come on. We gotta go. Come on.
David pulls the spear out of Jason's head and back through the windshield. They turn to see David standing on top of the ambulance. Sutton aims at him.
Okay, come on. Go.
They rush inside the Lucky Mart. Sutton collapses over a snack stand as Russo shuts the gate.
Gate's locked.
I'm all right.
No, you're not all right. Let me do my job.
You know what? I've been doing this longer than you. I think I know if I'm all right. Look at him first.
Lou kneels beside Russo. Sutton stumbles away, dragging his bloody hand along a rack of chips.
Keep it. Just breathe, okay? Press your wound. Keep pressure on it for me, all right? Okay, left. Right there. Good.
All right, I think I'll get in these dishes.
Did you see the chief? He does not look good. Okay, almost there.
David appears through the window gates.
Okay, we gotta go. Good. Okay. 1, 2, 3.
They move toward the back of the store as David watches and shakes the gate.
Come on.
They open the back door.
Okay. Did you see where he went?
Let's not stick around and find out.
Come on, Chief.
They travel down a narrow, dark hallway. Russo shines his flashlight on words written in blood on the wall.
More Latin.
Yeah, it's to move or something.
It's locked.
Come on.
This way.
They go through another door and find themselves in a stairwell. The door shuts behind them. Sutton checks it and discovers it's locked. Russo and Lou start up the stairs.
Locked.
Oh, great.
Well, there's gotta be a phone. Or maybe someone living here.
This place burned down 5 years ago. I got nothing.
Well, keep looking. All right, we'll find something. I got this.
They travel down a hallway. Russo moves charred beams out of the way.
This looks like it was built yesterday.
Windows are shut tight and the boards are reinforced.
Who barricades all the windows and doors?
Somebody doesn't want anyone to get in.
Or out.
They find an open door. Inside sits the charred corpse of Hale. Russo checks the name tag on the corpse.
Fire investigator Hale.
Flashback. Hale writhes as flames consume him. In the present. Russo shines his light on the ceiling to find more words written in blood.
Acheron.
What?
Acheron, This is... It means... Shit, I don't know, the... entrance to the underworld or something.
Oh, these are messages.
For who?
I know these words. Flectere. Flectere was on the guy's stomach. Sinequios was on the dumpster. This is Virgil's Aeneid about the founding of Rome.
Well, what does that mean?
If I cannot move heaven, I will raise hell. It's a rallying cry for fighting against people in power. This
This is quoting my thesis. He's led us up here. Shit, we need to go. Chief, we gotta go. Now. Oh, we gotta get out of this place.
Vinny leaps out at Lou. She twists him around, pushing him to the wall, and puts the knife against his neck.
Nice.
Who the fuck are you? Who the hell are you people?
Russo holds up his badge.
Why are you here? I'm looking for the bastard who killed Ramona. I'm gonna rip his fucking head off.
Yeah, he's after us too.
Okay, all right. You check this. There's more of us. Yeah? So you guys can help me. We'll track him down.
No. Listen, we're trying to get out of here. Okay?
But what are you afraid of? Do we outnumber him?
He's a psychopath. Okay? He's already killed several people. Gotta find a way out of here and let law enforcement deal with him.
All the windows are barricaded. Do you know a way out?
Vinny leads them to another floor.
We ran a little business out here on this floor once upon a time. There's a fire escape on the roof.
Oh, yeah? How does that help us?
You can use a fire escape to get down to the street.
What exactly happened here?
Really? Caught fire.
Building should have been demolished years ago. Now it's just drug dealers and criminals and it's like a moth to a flame. Like your friends down there.
Okay, what about the guy in the mask?
He's not just one of those thugs on the street. He's probably using them as camouflage.
How's the leg?
Hurts.
Yeah, well, don't get stabbed for me again, all right?
Yes, ma'am.
Yo, did you guys hear that?
Russo shines his light through slats of the charred wall. They enter a large room. A mannequin with a word written on her forehead stands in the middle of the room. Several other mannequins stand around the room. A TV plays static.
Yo, I told you this motherfucker was crazy.
Sutton collapses into a chair. Lou goes up to the mannequin in the middle of the room.
Lisa? What does that mean?
She's the Greek goddess of madness and rage.
Vinny picks up the head of a mannequin. Russo walks over to a figure wearing the long coat and David mask. He pokes at it with his finger. It is a mannequin. Russo turns off the music.
Somebody's living here.
He turns and spots a small boy mannequin with one arm outstretched. He sees the cameraman's camera sitting on the TV. He presses play.
5 years ago, I reported just outside this very apartment building as a fire ravaged this inner city community and caused the horrific deaths of an entire family trapped inside. And earlier this week, this same building was set on fire yet again, claiming the lives of several in the homeless community. Another tragic...
On the tape, David shoves the pair of anguish into Larkin's mouth. Her cameraman clutches his eyes.
Turn it off.
I saw a reporter.
That's our journalist.
Chief, you don't look good.
It's all right. He just knocked the wind out of me. I'll be all right.
Look, if you're not going to let me do it,
but I didn't kick you out of the academy.
Yeah, I'm glad you didn't too.
You don't know this, but your father and I go way back. Told me about what happened with you when you were with your mom when she
died and you couldn't do anything. It was rough.
Well, there was something that I could have done about it. Yeah, I was 9, but she had taught me countless times what to do with her EpiPen if she had an episode, and one day it happened and I froze. And she just kept mumbling over and over, picking up bits in my purse, and I couldn't move. And she could barely breathe, and then finally she just stopped. So there was something that I could have done.
Lou, you were a kid. It was a perfectly acceptable reason to freeze on your practicum. It would have been wrong to red light you out of the academy, okay? Not only that, I wouldn't want to lose my position as the most popular instructor in the academy.
I wouldn't say the most popular.
Oh, ow, now that hurts.
You're okay by me, Chief. And if it means anything, I'm glad that my dad got you to change your mind about me.
You're good at this shit. You're tough as nails. You're smart, you're focused. You won't make a difference. You're pretty impressive.
Russo bursts through a plastic sheet, separating another room.
Lou, you don't want to see this.
In the next room, a mannequin wearing her uniform stands near candles. On the far wall are photos connected by strings, along with newspaper clippings and Latin words written in blood. Next to that display are three figures dressed like David.
Alecto Tisiphone. Megara. Alecto Tisiphone Megara. The Three Furies.
We're really fucking in it now.
Russo walks up to a group of devices hanging on the wall.
What are these?
Cell phone jammers. That's why our phones aren't working.
Vinny picks up the bearded axe. Sutton doubles over in pain. Lou moves to the wall display.
I know this. It says, winged balancer of life. Dark goddess, daughter of justice. Who are all of these people?
Some of these guys are victims. Others, I'm not sure. Looks like he's been tracking these people through social media for years.
Oh my God, that's the chief. What are you doing up there?
What about this one?
He points to a photo of Patrick.
That's my dad. That's from a year ago.
A photo of Lou jogging hangs from a string.
Question is, why are you here?
She turns the picture around to find another of her dad on her dad's street.
This was taken this morning.
She turns to find her undergraduate thesis tacked to the wall.
No. This is my college thesis. How does he have this? I don't understand. The only way he could have this...
Flashback. A janitor mops outside a classroom.
He was there.
She turns and spots the janitor. He leaves. In the present.
What the fuck? Play me?
Vinny starts a video projector. It lights up a sheet on the wall. Sutton and Patrick appear in the video.
We still have time to put out this fire.
I told you, we let this burn.
Larkin and her cameraman filmed the Regal Cove fire.
Everything. Capture everything. And after you get footage of it burning, I want to see some tears.
I'm on it.
Look at these people standing around here. Look at those people.
Listen to me. Everyone here has skin in the game. All right? Everyone. The best thing that we can do is let the fire do its job.
Jesus
all right?
Christ. Did you get this?
There's evidence on the fourth floor that can Christ. Implicate people who have been looking after
right
their
now?
Families. This is the best thing for the community.
Oh, my God.
Trust me when I say there's no one up there.
Patrick motions to the cameraman. The cameraman turns and videos the burning building. Sutton rips down the sheet.
It's a goddamn disgrace! Every fucking minute of every fucking day, I regret that night. You know what that's like, do you? You never fix it. It just keeps coming. It tears at you in nausea. You fucking just dream of it.
Chief.
Sutton coughs up blood.
You gotta let me look at you, okay?
It's okay.
You gotta let me help you.
It's okay.
Look at you. Please.
We get what we deserve. Okay.
David leaps out from the mannequins and pushes Russo out of the way and grabs Lou. David holds a knife to Lou's throat as Patrick rushes in.
Hey! Don't! Look, here we go. All right?
Patrick puts his gun down on a table.
Vincent, Domnia Veritas.
I don't know what that means.
The truth conquers all.
The truth is that I am so sorry about your family.
Flashback. A hook and ladder truck sprays the burning Regal Cove with water. As onlookers gawk at the fire, a tall man pushes his way through the crowd to a police officer.
Why are you guys going up there?
We didn't mean for anyone to get hurt in that fire. You have to understand, I swear to you, I swear.
What are you saying, Dad?
Honey, I just wanted for you to have a life that I couldn't have.
It was supposed to be so easy.
Flashback, Patrick enters the police evidence room.
I found some narcotics that were ready for destruction. I pulled them from the evidence room and gave them to some local dealers. Everyone gets a cut. All the department brass have done this at one point or another in their career.
Vinny gives Ramona drugs.
It was like a rite of passage. Then internal affairs started circling.
We got a problem.
Internal fucking affairs?
Calm down.
Are you kidding me?
He doesn't have anything, all right? It's just I'm telling you as a courtesy, okay?
It's courtesy.
Yes, I'm going to handle it. I'm going to clean up house. When I'm done, there'll be nothing left. Nothing fucking left, all right?
The decision was made to get rid of the evidence. All of it. So we started a fire.
Vinny and Ramona talked to an officer.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No. Hey, let him go. I'll deal with him later. Let him go. Get out of here.
Vinny and Ramona leave. Patrick goes to Hale.
No one gets inside the building. You know that.
Meg, we have to get up there right now.
If we put that fire out, it's our ass. Simple as that. Yes.
Shit.
Just let it go. Let it go.
There's still people inside.
My wife and kid are up there.
Help! Somebody!
The tall man pushes an officer down and rushes inside the building.
Let me go!
Hey, stop it! Stop it! We didn't mean for anyone to get hurt in that fire.
You killed his family.
No. It was an accident.
Toward Vinny.
I told him before he started that fire to make sure that there was no one in there. I told him to go through each room and make sure that there was no one in that building.
You told me to secure the stairwell, make sure nobody gets in or out.
That's right. And he fucked up, honey. I gave him an order to make sure that it was safe. No one was supposed to get hurt.
Flashback. The tall man lies on the ground, his face charred.
Murderer.
Patrick, Hale, and Jason stand over him.
Help me.
Okay. All right.
Patrick talks to Jason, Hale, and Sutton.
There's going to be some questions.
I've already taken care of the reporter. There's only one more. There's no way he's going to survive this.
There's no chance he'll make it through the night now with those injuries.
Christ. His entire family is dead.
That poor bastard. He set the fire. Yeah, it's a horrible tragedy. But it solves a lot of problems.
But he didn't die.
He should have, but he didn't.
You set him up.
No, honey, you don't understand. I wanted you to have a better life than the one that your mother and I had. All right, we wanted what was was best for you. Because you deserve...
Finney spots a hammer on a table.
You deserve it. All right? You deserve it. Okay? That money changed our lives. Know that.
I wanted to be like you.
Honey. I'm going to make this right. I'm going to make it right. All right? I promise you.
Vinny grabs the hammer and charges David. Patrick snatches up his gun and shoots David. David staggers into a dark hallway.
Bitch. Kill this motherfucker!
Patrick and Vinny race after him. Lou pursues them.
Where'd he go?
Dad, stop!
What are you waiting for? Come on, let's get this motherfucker!
Vinny's foot hits a tripwire. A metal rod with a hook on one end called a Halligan tool juts through his chest, pulling out his heart.
I gotta finish this. It's all right.
No, don't!
Patrick moves on. Lou goes to Russo, who is attending to Sutton.
Help my father, please. Please.
All right.
Russo hobbles into the hall and comes upon Vinny's body. Lou tends to Sutton.
Rick.
Just go. Just go. It's okay.
I'm not leaving you. Come on.
I made a mistake.
No, it doesn't matter now. It doesn't matter.
Just tell me that I did something good.
You saved me, Chief.
You're doing good. Yeah.
His head slumps down. Russo gets to a door with Latin words written on it in blood. The door slams, locking him out.
What? What?
Inside. God.
Shit. Animus meus. That's Latin for my mind is a door. A door opened by what? What? What opens the door? How opens your mind, David? Sine qua. I cannot bend or move you. Flectere was on the guy's stomach. Like Ironta. The underworld fills my mind with rage. Come on. Animus meus. That's it, that's it. That's all this has been about this whole time.
Where are you going?
Right here, it's Lyssa, one of the mannequins.
She races to the Lyssa mannequin and pulls off the wig and the head. She looks inside and finds nothing. She runs to the other room and pulls the head off the mannequin wearing her uniform. Looking inside, she finds a key. She opens the door with the key. They run in. David has Patrick's head in a medieval skull crusher and is turning the crank.
They're all responsible. But killing them is not going to bring your family back. Think of your wife. Think of your little boy. Think of your wife. They would not want you to do this. Okay, wait. You left those messages for me, right? Right?
Flashback.
Then we find ourselves taken to a classic story. Your mythology is the ancient superhero.
The janitor watches.
This is a story we all know. And that is Michelangelo's David. Tells us that this has stayed within the human psyche.
In the present.
You wanted me to know why you're doing this, right? You had to have been there. You were watching me. I know. I get it. I get it. I understand. You used David because he fought and won against impossible odds, taking down Goliath and cutting off his head. And Aeneas, he traveled to the underworld, and he was shown what happens to the wicked. He was warned to bow to the justice of the gods. I get it. I get it. I get it, but please. Please, he's all I have in this world. No,
Lou, listen to me. I'm sorry.
David turns the crank. Patrick's head explodes in a burst of blood. Russo grabs Patrick's gun. David staggers backward and falls out the bay window. Russo looks down at David's unmoving body on the ground. Later, Lou, wrapped in a heavy blanket, is attended to by an EMT in an ambulance facing them. Another EMT works on Russo's leg. Russo glances over at Lou. She lifts her eyes and meets his gaze. He smiles and gives her a nod. She lowers her eyes, then turns to the EMT. She steps away from the ambulance, then bends down and picks up her cell phone. Officers cover David's body with a sheet. Lou enters the gear room at the fire station and places her phone on the shelf. She moves into the bathroom and stares at her bloody tank top in the mirror. She takes off her key card and places it on the counter. The EMT finishes tending to Russo's leg. Russo walks over to where David's body lies under the sheet. In the bathroom, Lou takes off her radio.
Wow, look at you. You look great. Russo, I'm proud of you. Mom would be proud of you.
Russo bends down and lifts up the sheet.
Go out there and knock him dead, okay? I love you.
Lou smashes the mirror with her fist. She sucks on the cut. Russo removes the mask to reveal Jason's face beneath it. In the bathroom, Lou runs water over her cut hand. The lights flicker. In her locker, the phone buzzes. The screen reads, Detective Russo. The lights blink off and on. David stands in the doorway. The lights blink again, and he is gone. She steps out into the hallway and looks both ways. When she turns back, David stands at the end of the hall.
Hello.
She runs through a door marked stair. Lou rushes out into the truck bay. She looks around, then crawls under one of the fire trucks. David enters. Lou crawls along under one of the trucks.
You shouldn't hide. This is our destiny. You and I are meant to be here.
She creeps around behind a truck. Then she dashes over to another truck and tries to roll up its equipment doors. She opens one of the doors. As she reaches for a tool, David grabs her from behind. He bangs her head against the truck, then flings her to the ground. She crawls under another fire truck. He grabs her leg and pulls her out. She kicks him in the face, then flips herself up from her back to her feet. As David struggles to stand, Lou flees. He grabs an axe from the truck and follows. She dashes upstairs to find a locked cage. Then she turns and goes into a storage room as David tromps up the stairs. Lou pulls a bin off the shelf. She crawls in the shelf, pulling up the bin behind her.
You cannot change what will be.
She kicks the bin into him and escapes out the other side. She pulls over a shelf, blocking his way. Lou runs back through the truck bay and around a corner. She presses her body against the wall.
Superheroes. Sinequio. Flectere. Moebo. Lisa. Vindicta.
He looks through a shelf of scuba tanks. She shoves one into his face, then kicks him in the face and runs off. She runs into a narrow room with fire hoses dangling on one side. She hides. David enters the room. He looks up a ladder to the corrugated ceiling above. Behind the hoses, Lou holds her breath. David starts to climb the ladder, stops. He looks back at the hoses. Lou's eyes dart back and forth between two hoses. He pulls some hoses aside with the axe, then moves to other hoses. He swings the axe at the hoses. Lou bursts out and runs upstairs as he swings at her. She bursts outside to a metal balcony. David slams the axe handle against the doorway. He presses the axe handle against her neck.
Your father was a bad man. And you need to pay for it.
She knees him in the groin. She runs back down the stairs. He spots a tarp in the corner. He pulls it back to reveal fire training dummies. He picks up another axe. In the fire training chamber, Lou slams a button, turning on the fire. She goes to the thick doors to the outside and shoves them open. Lou picks up a heavy chain with a grab hook on the end of it. David enters the fire training chamber. As he stalks his way through the chamber, Lou crouches behind a barrel. She kicks him from behind, then whacks his face with the hook. She jumps on his back and wraps the chain around his neck and strangles him with it. With Lou on his back, he staggers to the front of the makeshift car. He goes limp. Lou removes the chain from his neck. She stares at the body lying face down over the hood, then pushes the massive doors closed. She presses another button, turning on more fire in the chamber. Flames dance above the doors. She walks away and collapses to her knees. doors to the chambers swing open. David comes out of the chamber as fire dances on his body. He holds two flaming axes above his head. Lou swings the chain in a circle. She whips the chain at him. It sends his mask flying. The burning mask lands on the ground. David collapses. Picks up a pike pole and rams the point into his burning body. David's mask continues to burn. Later, fire and police work the scene. Russo talks to a couple of officers as EMTs wheel a gurney next to David's body. Lou, wrapped in a blanket, walks away from an ambulance and ducks under police tape. Russo goes to her.
Hey! If you need anything, you know, talk or just get a coffee.
I don't like that. Just need some time.
Yeah.
He pats her arm and limps away. Lou stares off vacantly.
My father once told me there were monsters. He knew because he was one of them. Maybe that's why he wanted me to be ready to protect myself, ready for the Goliaths of the world. I just never expected Goliath to be David.
As they zip up the body bag, David's burnt eyes pop open. End credits. A Stephen Paul production. A Sean McNamara film. Cast. Elena Camporis as Lou, Sean Astin as Rick Sutton, Travis Nelson as Russo, Bradley Stryker as Vinny, Jamie M. Calica as Jason, Daniel Cudmore as David, and Jeremy Piven as Patrick. Carolina Cubitt as Ramona, Mikasha Armstrong as Hale, Olivia Summers as Lana, Adam Pateman as the cameraman, Todd Masters as Officer Thomas, Timothy Lambert as Homeless Man, DeFei Zhao as Ji Li. Casting by Fern Champion CSA. Music by Matthew Rogers. Editor, Tony Dean Smith. Production designer, Patrick Acuna. Director of photography, Ryan Peaty. Story by Stephen Paul. Stunt coordinator, Colin Decker. Stunt local one, Doug Chapman. Stunt police officer, Chad Bellamy. Lou stunt double, Andrea Ross. Russo stunt double, Alex Dinas. Hale stunt double, Gaston Morrison. David and newscaster voiceover, Robert Atkins Downs, fire safety number one, Corey Grimm, and fire safety number two, Jason Wingham. Screenplay by Ian Neely. Executive producers, Scott Carroll and Charles Cooper. Consulting producer, Kyle Otto. Produced by Stephen Paul, directed by Sean McNamara. Supervising producer, Alan Lewis. Line producer, producer-manager, Robert Murdoch. First assistant director, Peter Dashkovich. Second assistant director, Helena Tom. Additional credits roll. The characters and events depicted in this motion picture are fictional. Any similarities to actual persons, living or dead, is purely coincidental. This motion picture is protected by the copyright laws of Canada, the United States, and other countries. Any unauthorized duplication, copying, or use of all or part of this motion picture may result in civil liabilities and/or criminal prosecution in accordance with applicable laws. Copyright 2023, SP Media Group, LLC, all rights reserved. Logos, Pipe, SP Media Group, and Republic Pictures, Paramount.